Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
This move today, where they go out and get Rendon and add another big-time bat for big-time money, this also, and I understand, Chris, pitching is very important to baseball. I'm not trying to poo-poo it. But, you know, this greatest player who's played all these years, made the playoffs one time, has mostly, and I'm talking about Mike Trout, played long stretches of half, more than half the season, 100 games a year, 120 games a year, and games that don't matter because you're out of the playoff run in April or May, you know what I mean, after the first 45 days. Now you're going to be playing in games that matter. This team is going to be able to stay in some of these games. You don't have to have the greatest pitching staff, all right, but they're going to be a candidate for the postseason with the lineup alone. They're going to be in the mix. Yes, if you want to win it, Chris, they're going to have to go and get a pitcher or two, like a guy of that caliber. But finally, there's going to be more pressure on Trout to perform in games that matter. He's been playing almost his whole career in meaningless games, and there is a difference between coming up to bat, you know, in July, Chris, when you're 40 games out and you're not, you could swing for the fences, you can do whatever you want to do because it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but if you're playing that way, you're not going to be as productive individually, and he's been productive. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, of course, there is a difference when the games matter.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that these games are going to matter for him, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs because he's only made the playoffs one time in his 9 years. And I think this is when your owner goes out and spends this kind of money. And Chris, I'm going to say this. They will get a pitcher. There's no way he's spending this money and thinks that the rotation that they have is going to be good enough.
Well,
the question is
it the right pitcher?
No, right. But you agree with me there that they'll go get somebody.
Yeah, they got to. Like you said, I mean, you went out and got the manager. You went out and added a bat. Yeah, you already have star power. He's clearly trying to win. And obviously, he's got people telling him he needs pitching. So I agree with you. The pressure on Trout. Here's my only thing. Baseball, man, it's just different, Rob. And you know it as well as anybody. It's just different. Now, I think in New York, in Boston.
You know, New York, Boston, places, Philadelphia.
Yeah, if you don't win it in New York, yes. You will not, your legacy will be negatively affected to a great degree. No question. But a lot of other places with the Angels, I mean, we've seen some. Ken Griffey didn't have, he had one playoff series win in his entire career. He's viewed as, rightly so, one of the greatest players ever.
But not the greatest.
Well, not because he didn't win. His numbers weren't the greatest.
If Trout continues this path, and I'm just saying, of putting up these numbers and WAR, and all the stat geeks love Mike Trout, and they vote him MVP, and they want to make him the MVP every year, and he doesn't get to the playoffs or doesn't do any kind of damage, I'm telling you, people say, oh, he's a great player, but very few people will think of him as the greatest player who ever played. I just don't believe that. When you talk about some of the greats, they've all won. Barry Bonds is the only guy who didn't win.
Barry Bonds didn't win.
No, but a lot of people.
Rod Carew won one playoff series? No playoff series.
But I'm talking about the Hank Aarons, the Willie Mays, the Babe Ruths. All those guys were winners to go along with those great numbers. And I'm not. Barry Bonds played in 2002. They should have won that World Series.
Did Ted Williams win one?
No, he didn't win.
Okay,
and everybody,
that's a very short list great player.
Yeah, Ted Williams is another guy who everybody thinks of him as a great hitter, Chris. But very few people say Ted Williams is the greatest player who ever played.
Yeah, they're trying to build. Think he's the greatest hitter.
Do you think you could build a guy seriously and say he's the greatest player ever, but he wasn't a winner. I don't think they go together, and I think that's where Trout...
I think baseball is entirely different. Look, Mike Trout could hit 400 with 60 home runs this year. Rendon could do the same thing. And they, if their pitching is what it was last year, they could miss the playoffs.
Here's the difference. Bonds, 7 times in the postseason in 22 years. 1 time for Trout in 9. Just double that up and say 2-18. That is not – people will not look at him. And I'm not saying – they'll look at the numbers, Chris, and they'll say his
Bonds
war is
was
great.
With a he was with much better franchises historically. Wouldn't you give me that? Well, Pittsburgh, it was a, you know.
They were up and coming at the time.
Now,
right, right. No,
but
they
historically, they've been a pretty decent franchise. And obviously the Giants.
And then the Giants when he got there. So that turned around. But I'm just saying, this is legacy time. He's got the help now in the lineup. They do need pitching. But I just do believe people will not accept. If they don't win again or they don't make the playoffs, they're going to be like, what is going on here? Why can't.
How you going to. If his numbers are great, how you going
to
blame him?
I'm just.
It's the nature of the sport.
The numbers will be empty to me. I guess that's what I'm looking at. Empty numbers. Yes, he's piling
we
up numbers.
We can go up and down the line with baseball greats who didn't have postseason success.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the putting up numbers in low-pressure situations where you're not playing in big games and games that matter. That's where I look at players as well. If the Angels this year, when were they out of the playoffs, Chris? In April or was it May?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The one thing I'll give you, I think today because of the intensified media coverage, you know, all the sports talk radio shows, all the debate shows on television, like everything's just intensified.
I agree.
I do think that creates more of a pressure, not pressure on winning, more of an emphasis on winning, right? In every sport. Like basketball, I mean, Jerry West lost his first 7 finals appearances, but was nicknamed Mr. Clutch.
Right.
That wouldn't happen today. You know, like we put Oscar Robertson, some thought was the greatest ever, won 1 NBA championship later in his career with Kareem. So I'll give you that there is more of an emphasis on winning now. But I just think the nature of baseball with pitching being so important and the best players can't impact the game on that end of it, I think it's a little bit different.
Okay. I think that's fair, but I do believe this guy's going out, the owner's going out, spending money, putting together a team, and at some point, and now we're like this, I just want to see Trout in games that matter. And just see how great he is. That's all.
No, I hear.
That's
agree.
What I want to see this
great.
Year. Would you like to see him play in meaningful games and then put up the
no
same
question.
Numbers? And then I'll be like, that this guy's a stud. The Angels will buy him.
I mean, he's a stud anyway.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I agree.
Okay.
And not only him. I mean, because look at that star power they have. But last thing I'll say, Rob, case in point, do you look down, and then you know what I mean, does it, like, is Bryce Harper viewed negatively? Because he left the Nationals, Philly didn't do anything, and his old team won without him. Does that really negatively, you know, make us look negatively at Bryce Harper?
I mean, the first year, no one's saying. I don't think he had the kind of lineup that the Angels
have
now.
Your team, you left, and they got better without you.
Yeah,
my point is, in basketball, that would be a huge factor. Like, if that happened in basketball, we would be like, we would look at the player that left, like Kyrie Irving in Boston, and we would put it on him. In football, if the quarterback does that, we would put it on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, that to me, that illustrates the difference in the sports.
Okay.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This playoff season for the NFL, going to be great like always, but going to be a little strange too. Because you are going to have a team that has had a great regular season. Whether it's San Francisco, right now it looks like the Seattle Seahawks, Minnesota, you know, some team that's won 10 or 11 games going to have to go and play at Dallas or Philadelphia, who very well could have a .500 record, if not worse. because they won the NFC East. Right now, Dallas and Philadelphia top the NFC East at 6-7. And a lot of people are crying foul. A lot of people are saying they've got to revamp the playoff format. The NFL has come out and said, we're not doing any such thing. It happens every once in a while. Deal with it. It is what it is. And I'm going to say this, Rob. I have been on that bandwagon as well. I have felt like, look, this is an aberration. It doesn't happen that often. Every blue moon, there's one division that somebody wins it with a 500 record or worse, or one game over 500, and they host a team with a better record that was a wild card. So it's no big deal. But Vic Fangio, he had what I thought was a great suggestion. He said that they should have a new format, and he said what you should do, you obviously have 32 teams, 16 in each conference. Get rid of the divisions. Every team plays everyone else in their conference. That's 15 games. And then you play, you need a 16th game, obviously, so you could play a natural rival from the other conference. So the New York Jets would play the New York Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles would play the Pittsburgh Steelers, and so on and so forth. So I actually thought that was a really good suggestion. So you would even out the schedule, and then you just take the best six teams in each conference, and that's your playoff format. I like it. I really like it a lot, and I'm on board with it. What say you?
No way, no how. You just said it. You just said it when we started this segment. Oh, we're ready for another great playoffs in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with the playoffs. The NFL is 100% right. Every so often it's fluky and this situation comes up. But for the most part, the division leaders are the best teams and they have earned their divisions. And you want to have the rivalries in the division, like that AFC Central, you know, with Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cleveland and whatnot. You do want to have
Pittsburgh,
that.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland, it's a one-sided rivalry.
But you
let's
still,
keep
you
it
still
real.
Want those kind of things where you have these teams that you play against, the Bears and the Packers. You don't want it like that. I'm sorry. I'm not buying into that. I love that. Those rivalry games, those games you look forward to. Always trying to fix something that's not broke.
Well, it's
nobody's
not broken.
Complaining
I
about
agree
the play.
With that.
There's nothing wrong with the playoffs.
Well, people are complaining.
No, they're not. There's
they're
a handful of people.
About Dallas or Philadelphia.
So what? One year
a playoff
they got a bad
game.
They had a bad year. I get it.
It happens every few years.
It does.
Every so often.
But it doesn't. If this was happening every year, Chris, then maybe I would buy into it. But it doesn't happen every year. There are down years sometimes. Nobody seems to complain to want to change it when the Patriots win the AFC least every year because the Jets, Giants, and
you've
and,
complained
cause,
about
because the Jets and those teams are terrible.
You've complained
no,
about
I'm
it, right?
I'm saying, but most people don't, and they just accept it. That's how it is.
We're right. Look, I agree with you. Obviously, it's not broken. If they just go on as it is for the next 20, 30 years, nobody's going to complain because you're right. It's great. However, the goal of the whole season is to find out who the best team is and to reward the teams for the regular season. And I think the best way to find that out is to have an even schedule. You can't, that's undeniable. I mean, the Cowboys are 6-7. And they already have an advantage over other teams because they're playing their weak division schedule. And they still can't be above 500. A team like that, in the ideal world, again, I'm not going to protest because they're going to make the playoffs, them or the Eagles. But in an ideal world, when the whole goal is to find out who's best, that is more fair. It is more fair to have everybody play the same schedule in their conference and then the best six teams go. Because division, who cares about the division? Really? Winning your division crown means nada.
There's a thing called tradition.
Same with
the NBA. And to just
traditions
always,
change all the time.
No, but there's some that should stay the same. And in this one, leave it the way it is. Football is fine. I love the rivalries and the divisions and the division rivals and foes. Stop stripping everything away from the game because one little situation people didn't like and they're mad because the Eagles or the Cowboys who aren't that good are going to somehow host a playoff game. It doesn't mean, you know what? A couple years ago, teams don't automatically win because you host a game. If they're not good, the other team could still beat them. So I'm just not buying into all that. There's nothing wrong with the National Football League playoff system the way it is. Just leave it be. Take your hands off of it. Let's stop with all this tinkering with everything.
Look, and again, I'm not saying that, oh, they got to make a change. I'm with you on it's fine the way it is. But it would be better. It would be more true to the goal of finding out who the best team is. Chicago's rallying. They could be a better team than anybody in the NFC East, but they may not get in the playoffs. Not because they're not better than Dallas or Philadelphia, but because they had a tougher schedule. That's it. And that's not how you find out who the best team is. And it's the same for the NBA. We've been saying it for years. The West is so much better than the East.
But there were years it was a flip. It was flipped the up. It was flipped before.
The West has been better for 20, 25 years.
All right, and at one time the East was better for 20 or 25 years.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't better that long. The West is generally better than the East. The East might have the best one team, but the depth of the West has generally been better. And it's all about finding out who the best team is. That's what's fair to your players. These guys bust their butts.
I don't have
blood,
any
sweat, tears to see who's best.
I think it's over.
And I think you should put them in the best situation.
I think that's all overstated. It's just about you play the schedule that's in front of you and the best team, whoever. If you have the best, if you play the best game on that Super Bowl night, even though you might have been undefeated, it was just like the Patriots. They blew everybody away. They were 18-0. They played the Giants, who got in as a wild card or something. And the Giants weren't even that great that year, other than their defense. And you know what? Was that wrong? Oh, no.
That's fine, because Giants earned it. Giants earned their way there.
But they weren't. Why are they playing a team that wasn't as good?
Best two records in the Super Bowl.
And that's my point. It doesn't matter.
But they should be in the playoffs.
No.
The best team should make the playoffs.
I totally disagree. I love the way it is set up.
Here's the thing.
I don't have an issue with it.
You're talking about these rivalries. What people really care about is good teams playing against each other. When Pittsburgh played Cincinnati, I mean, when I was coming up as a kid, as a big-time Steelers fan, that was a rivalry. I lived in Cincinnati rooting for the Steelers, and it was a big-time rivalry because the Bengals were good and the Steelers were great. Now, nobody cares. I mean, yeah, a few people, oh, the Steelers and the Bengals. But nobody cares because the Bengals are horrible. I'd rather see Pittsburgh play New England.
Things go up and down.
I'd rather see Pittsburgh play Houston.
Things are cyclical. The Bengals,
but that's my point.
The Bengals went to the Super Bowl twice.
The rivalries are
cyclical. During that time when they went to the Super Bowl twice. I mean, I remember when the Bengals were good.
That's my point, though, Rob. The rivalries can be cyclical. I don't care about, Dallas, Washington. Okay, it's a rivalry. Yeah, but with the Redskins being horrible, it's not that big of a deal.
Still a rivalry game.
I'd rather see Dallas play a good team in another division that's not a rival. You're so off on this.
No,
you are.
You're just a prisoner of the moment.
No,
because
I'm not.
Yes, you are. This
I'm
is
saying it's
typical
better.
Reaction. It's not better.
I'm what not the, saying this is broken.
We
I'm
haven't,
saying that would
we
be
haven't
better.
Missed anything. I don't have. I don't go back any year and go, oh, it's terrible that Super Bowl team. Oh, it's terrible that the Giants won and not the 18-0 Patriots. Because if it was really done and the Giants wouldn't have made the playoffs that year, according to your system.
I don't think you know that. I mean,
according to your system.
Honestly, you can't say that.
I looked it up.
That year.
I looked it up. They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
You didn't look it up.
According to your system.
You didn't look it up. I know you. I know you too well, Rob.
What? I looked it up.
You didn't look anything up. Don't make me call Rob G on
you. Rob G, you saw me doing my research on this, didn't you? He just shook his head.
I mean, look, and I'm not saying it's broken. If they don't change it, fine. And up until I read this story about Fangio's recommendation, I was on your side. But I was like, you know what? That makes a ton of sense because really, who cares if you win the NFC East, the AFC North? It's all about getting to the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. And again, same thing with the NBA. I would love for the NBA to even out the schedule. You play every team twice. Most teams you play three times. And you can't play everybody three times, but most teams you play three times. Schedule's even for everybody, and you take the best 16 records. It's about finding out who's best. It's not about some rinky-dink rivalry that isn't even important if one of the teams is horrible. Mic drop. I guess it's a mic drop. You got nothing to say.
I couldn't.
You doing your research?
I couldn't disagree with you more. I just couldn't disagree with you more. I just think what we have going on is fine. I don't have an issue with it. So what if once in a while a team not that great wins the division and they're lucky that year? But you don't know once you get into the playoffs what could happen. So
I agree. I actually hold out hope Dallas might make a run.
Good luck. For you to try to be right on the Cowboys you had going to the Super Bowl, because it'll be a bad pick that they not make the playoffs.
Well, not as bad as the Chargers.
Yes, though. It is.
No, you it won't the, be as bad as the
yeah,
Chargers.
Yeah, because you'll be wrong on Dallas. You'll be wrong on the Chargers. You'll be wrong on Cleveland.
I didn't pick the Chargers. I picked the Chiefs.
Yes, you did. You picked the Chargers to make the playoffs. I'm talking about you picked
the Jets to make the playoffs.
You'll be wrong more, Chris. I'm telling you.
We already went through this, Rob.
No.
You were wrong more.
I'm telling
you. You're mixing up the predictions and the pigskin pickoff.
Rob G., as a homework assignment, I want you to go over this.
There was something you drank in Antarctica or something in the air that got to you.
Is that what
it was? Did you kiss a penguin on the mouth or something?
No, I don't do that. I didn't even know the guy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Houston Rockets, 16-8, fourth seed in the West. That's not bad. This is what I expected, 50-some-odd wins. But James Harden, Rob, is just putting on an absolute show. 55 points again last night. And he now has like four 50-point games this season. He's got 10 40-point games this season. And we all know he's leading the league with 38.7 points a game. That's almost 8 points higher than Giannis, who's viewed by most, including myself, as the front runner for the MVP. ESPN did a nice feature recently about Harden, and they said he's the greatest scorer that the NBA has seen since Michael Jordan. I like Harden a lot. I think he is an all-time great. I think he will be somewhat iconic with these huge scoring numbers he's put up. But I also think there are other guys, Rob, that if in that type of system that Mike D'Antoni has, if given the just straight up green light, I don't even mean given it, but if they just took it, if Kevin Durant shot as much as James Harden, he could do this. I mean, he's a better scorer. He's more efficient from two. He's more efficient from three. He just doesn't shoot as much as James Harden. And he's unstoppable. He's 7 foot. He can take you off the bounce. He can shoot the three. He can hit the mid-range jumper. He can post. What can he do? So I have a hard time, as much as I like Harden, saying he's a better scorer than a Kevin Durant.
No, I'm with you on that. I agree with you. And I get it. We've seen James Harden and what he's been able to do. The same old move for the most part, Chris, over and over.
It's fascinating, right?
It's unbelievable that you can't figure it like Kareem with the hook shot. Yep. I understand that, why people couldn't get it. You know what I mean? But this is incredible to me, what Harden has been able to do. It really has been.
I was, as you know, co-hosting First Things First for much of this week. And today, Nick Wright, we talked about it. He threw a curveball, and we weren't, you know, we were going to talk about James Harden, and he saved this for one of the later segments, but it was really interesting. He threw out there that he thinks James Harden is the best player ever not to win a ring. And I pushed back a little. I mean, I brought up Charles Barkley.
who was a hell of a player. I think sometimes I think people just don't realize it. Or you know what I mean? People didn't see him play during his day, Chris. He was a great player.
I said it, Rob, inch for inch. We usually hear pound for pound. We don't think inch for inch. But inch for inch, you could make a strong argument as to, you know, whether or not anybody's been better than him. Right. I mean, he was a 6'4" power forward.
Yes.
Not only giving you 25, 26, sometimes 28 points a game, but leading the league in rebounds, 13, 14, 15 rebounds a night, was a good passer, you know, developed a pretty good jump shot. He was unstoppable, and he led Phoenix to the NBA Finals, something Harden has not been able to do. And Nick and I were talking, and he, you know, said Harden had to go through Kevin Durant and Steph and all that, and I get that. But Barkley, I mean, when he went to the Western Conference Finals, they had Hakeem Olajuwon. They had David Robinson. They had Sean Kemp and Gary Payton all in the West. Nope. They had Stockton and Malone in the West. And that's another one I could throw out, Karl Malone.
Two great players on that team, Hall of Famers. And they won a ton of games and were in the mix, Chris, year after year after year.
So I think Harden could, if he continues this and doesn't win a championship, I think he could end up being what Nick Wright said, but I'm not ready to give him that yet.
Yeah, I still would say it's Barkley more so. And I don't know. The one problem I have, and I don't know how this really affects it, is his style of play, Chris, conducive to winning? Where I can't really say, and I'm not saying Barkley was the greatest defender of all time,
right?
But I don't think he hurt his team at all. Do you know what I mean with his style of play?
That's a good point. And here's what I think, kind of what you're saying, just to add on to it. James Harden's averaging 38, basically 39 points a game. No one, Rob, in the history of basketball, not Wilt, not Michael Jordan, not Kareem, we could go on and on. No one has averaged even 33 points a game in the regular season and led a team to the championship that year. The most a guy's ever averaged in leading a team to a title was Michael Jordan at 32.5 points a game. And he had years, that was like his fourth highest scoring year of his career. But when he averaged 37 and 35, he didn't get to the finals.
What does that say?
Much less winning. Yeah, you got to. It's a team game. I mean, we got great individual players, but you've got to get other guys involved. And to your point about Harden, here's the interesting thing. It's not like he's on a team where he's got to do this. You know what I mean? Like, you got Russell Westbrook. You got Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, PJ Tucker, who can hit the corner three. Like, you have other guys. You had Chris Paul. And that was kind of their beef. Paul was like willing to give up his game for Harden to try to win a title. When it didn't happen in 2 years, Chris was like, okay, we got to get a little more, you know, ball movement and utilizing me a little bit more. And Harden did not change his game for Chris. And he has not changed his game one iota for his good friend, Russell Westbrook.
Which I'm not surprised. I never thought it was going to happen. I know people were thinking maybe it would be a different scenario. I didn't think it would be.
Yeah, and that kind of speaks to what you're saying. And look, I think Harden wants to win, but I also think you got to look at it and say, you know, let's get some other guys involved. I mean, he still could average 32, 34, but I just think they're a one-man show, and I don't think they need to be. And I think it's going to be very tough to win a title that way.